How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Power for Living podcast series brought to you by Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. Kick back, relax for the next 20 to 25 minutes, and let's begin.
Again, what I want to start out with in terms of the actual sermon content today is this is another one of those passages, as I was just saying a few minutes ago, that we have read or heard or seen acted out on film or on stage. If you went to one of those passion plays or something, we have seen this passage represented to us either in film or directly or read from the Bible at least dozens of times. And possibly if you are about in the age range that I am in now, possibly even hundreds of times. Because we've all seen and heard the triumphal entry. Well, since the Lord's word is never stale, we're going to do something a little different today, and we're going to look at this triumphal entry passage as if it is relating and talking to our specific salvation and discipleship experience with Jesus in our walk with Him. We might even pick up a hint or two about revival, but we'll see how it goes. So let's get started. When we read in verse 28, when he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And in this case, he went ahead. Jesus went ahead of them. That by itself is an amazing point. Because you will never be led in your Christian life. You will never be taken to a place in your walk with the Lord where He hasn't already been there and gone ahead of you and prepared the way. So what does that mean? It means that when God gives us some instructions, we can obey them. And we don't have to be afraid. See, the fear comes from either the adversary or the demon that he is assigned to mess with us personally, or our own flesh creates the problem. Because we know from this passage here, is we see this as an illustration, or as it were from last week, an allegory of our Christian experience. Jesus has already been there. That's what the psalmist was talking about in Psalm 139, where he says, if I make my bed in the depths of the sea, Lord, you're there. You will not go anywhere in your life where Jesus has not already been and prepared the way for you. And it came to pass, when he drew near Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples. In our salvation experience and in our lives as a disciple, Jesus draws near. See, he's coming near to Bethphage and Bethany. This is illustrated vividly here. And these two towns are important because they figure very closely into this process. They are within less than a few miles from Jerusalem itself. So Jesus is drawing near. And it says he's also sending two of his disciples. So what that means is we are, everyone in this room, we are all sent. We are sent. We are going to be sent somewhere, even if it's to our next door neighbors, or to the town next door, or to Saugus, or, and that ought to be adventurous enough for some of us, or if we're sent to another country, overseas, as so many missionaries and songs have said, oh Lord, please don't send me to Africa, but we might get sent there. We are sent. We are sent somewhere to do His work and to represent Him. And then verse 30, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. Again, Jesus is preparing the way. For salvation to happen, He has to work out the details in our lives and prepare our hearts for what He is going to do. And when He's working in our lives, He masters the detail. Remember, a God who can create this world to work with this level of sophistication, who can design a flower that looks just so perfect, or one who can design a hummingbird to where that thing can actually fly, to where the bird outweighs the wings by 10 times, but that little tiny thing can still lift off the ground and hover in place. If that God can do that, he can master the detail in our lives, can he not? So, he's also going to prophesy. He's going to give you a hint sometimes as to what he's going to do. Here, he tells them exactly what's going to happen. You see, he's the master of detail. He tells them in advance, this is what's going to happen to you. And guess what? It happened exactly as he said it would. And when we have that intimate relationship with Christ, when he tells us what he wants us to do, and he gives us the details on how this is supposed to work, we can count on it. If we follow his instructions and do it his way, we can count on it having the results he's told us ahead of time is going to have. If he doesn't give you the results ahead of time, it's because he doesn't want you to know. But you're supposed to also remember from this detail in this passage that he's already mastered the detail of what's going to take place. And nothing that's going to happen to you when he sends you is going to surprise him. So that should mean in our Christian walk, when we are sent to do a specific ministry for him and his glory, and ultimately our purpose is to glorify the Lord. Ultimately, our ministry purpose is to give God the glory. But when we are sent to do that, we can trust that he's mastered the details. So now we move on. Verse 32. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. Again, when he gives instructions and when we listen, we will find out that it will be how he says it's going to be. Now, this sounds simple. Seek to get nearer to the Lord. Let the Lord reveal to you the things in your life that are preventing you from deepening your relationship with him. There is something in each one of our lives that is possibly or potentially hindering our walk with him and hindering our capacity to deepen our relationship with him. But when he tells you to do something, do it. Because he's made the promise. And it will work out the way he says. My recent experiences can testify to that. When he told us to sell the house, he said 3 years ago, you're really going to like the place I have found for you. It happened exactly as he said it was going to. But what I want to urge each one of you to do is not to wait 8 years or 3 years to act on his instructions. Take that step of faith and receive the blessing sooner rather than later. You will not regret doing that. Verse 33, but as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? Along the way in the process of getting to know the Lord, either for the first time or a while down the road, there will be people who will question what you are doing. Ignore them. Don't argue with them. People will question you. If you're a Christian and you're serving the Lord, if you're doing what the Lord says do, believe me, the world will ask you questions. The world will think you are mentally imbalanced. The world will think you are dumb because you're believing in this God. But when God has told you to do something, just do it. And tell those people whatever he told you to tell them. Remember what he told you to do and do that. And the reason I've repeated this same point 3 times now is that even if you are in vocational ministry, even if you have been called and ordained in ministry, you still have the temptation to hesitate when God tells you to do something. Trust me, I can vouch for that personally. We can't repeat it often enough so that it gets embedded deeply in our hearts and in our minds, and it can stay and stick and be shown and proven to be true. And they said, the Lord is need of him. What did the disciples do? Well, they did what the Lord said, and guess what? Here's the example of what I've been trying to tell you. it worked out exactly as the Lord said it was going to. They did what the Lord said, and it worked out. Are we getting the connection here? Obedience brings results. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, verse 35. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Here is the cue. You may get out of your seats and throw your blanket or your coat or your sheet or whatever in the aisle next to you. The first point here is that they brought the colt, the donkey, to Jesus. They did as he said, and they completed the task. We need, here's the lesson for us, they did what the Lord said. They did it as he said it. We need to do the same. When the Lord tells us to do something, we need to do it the way he says do it and finish the job. Don't do the Lord's work halfway. Don't try to do just a little bit and think that God will be satisfied. If you do not fulfill the command he gives you, then you're not obeying the Lord. If you don't do everything he tells you to do, then you are not obeying him. Is that pretty clear? So do what the Lord says do. Then when we see them spread their coats on the colt and the people spread their coats and cloaks on the road, in this story, the people spreading their clothes on the road because they're doing this as people have done for centuries. They're putting out the welcome carpet, like rolling out the red carpet, as it were. They're putting out the welcome mat for a king. They're putting out the welcome mat for a king. And here you go. In ancient times, people did that. And they spread out their coats or whatever, their clothes on the road to show loyalty to the king. And here's the point. When you pledged loyalty to a king in ancient or medieval times, you pledged your loyalty to that king for life. And possibly to the sacrifice of your own. And in ancient times, when people pledged their loyalty to a king, they pledged their loyalty to that king, even to the point of dying and giving their life for the king. Now, here's another point. We ourselves know that what we wear, the clothes we wear, see, remember, they're throwing their coats on the road. What we wear and what we put on and the clothes we decide to wear are a reflection of what we think of ourselves. They're a reflection of our personality, are they not? The clothes we wear are a reflection of what we think of ourselves. So now there are some of us out here who go and they do and they buy the latest designer duds. That's what we call clothes in the South, by the way. It's not related to the other meaning of the word dud, but anyway. We buy our clothes, and some of us buy those designer things, you know, Calvin Klein, or the latest, I guess, is Michael Kors, or, you know, some of these things, Ralph Lauren, Chaps, and all that. We buy these designer clothes because we want to get really, really, really spiffy or really fashionable and up to date and look like we're wearing the latest fashions. Other people aren't that worried about it. They just wear whatever they find. But whatever the point is, is that what we put on and the clothes we wear are usually, for most people or a lot of people, is a reflection of our personality, is it not? We want people to think we're either really sharp or whatever by what we wear. And here's where we're getting to the point for today. What I asked you to do was to take a coat and lay it down on the ground. That coat, as a representation of who you are, is a representation today of you and your life. And you see what those people were doing? They were throwing their coats down on that road, on that descent from the Mount of Olives. They were, in a sense, because those clothes represent them, they were laying down their lives for Jesus. So as you put your coat, these things on the floor, it's symbolic of the illustration of the passage for today. We're laying down our lives for Jesus. This means we're laying down our life. We're laying down our past hurts. This means because they were laying them down before the Lord, so the Lord could actually trample that under his, under the colt's foot, feet. You're laying down your life. So you lay down your lives for the Lord. You give up your hurt. You lay down your pain. You lay down your bad memories. If we're in bondage to something, we need to lay that down before the Lord. If we're prideful, we need to lay that down before the Lord. If we're a control freak, we need to lay that down before the Lord. If we're stubborn to the point of even being harmful to ourselves and to others, to our family, we need to lay that down before the Lord. We need to lay down our weaknesses and our faults. We need to lay down our hesitation to follow the God-given authority the Lord has given to our lives. We need to lay down those things that prevent us from walking with Him as personally and as closely as possible. We need to lay that down before the Lord and let Him trample it under His feet and bury it as He takes it to the grave. And not only that, if we have sin, we need to repent of that sin and lay down that sin before the Lord. Lay it down. Give it up and turn over control to Him, to let Him change us. But what does it really mean to lay it down before the Lord? This means we lay down our lives. It means we die to self. And if you don't think that laying down is a synonym in many cases for dying, think about this. How many of you have ever gone to a funeral and seen the deceased standing upright? And if you have, please don't tell me. I don't want to know about what was going on there. But how many of us have ever seen the deceased standing upright at a funeral? Probably never. So that means laying down your life is synonymous with dying to self. And if we need help with this, there's Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And if we need even more confirmation of this, here's what Jesus says about what laying down our lives means. Jesus said in John 10, verse 18, John 10, verse 18, no one takes it from me. He's talking about His life. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. He says He lays down His life for us. So what is Jesus talking about with laying down His life? He's talking about His death for our sin. If laying down His life for us means to die, how much truer does it mean for us that means to lay down our lives like we laid down that old coat? It means to lay down our lives and to give our lives for Christ. So we laid down that coat. We laid down that representation of ourselves. That's what that means. See, these people, they were laying down their coats for their king. They were pledging their loyalty to their king at that moment. But what we need to remember is we need to lay down our lives. And what that ultimately means, it means total commitment to Christ. We give Him all of us and we take up His cause. We live for Him. How do we know if we've done that? How do we know if we've laid down our lives completely for the Lord? Well, ask yourself this question. Who's in charge of your life? Do you let Jesus decide things for you? Or do you let your will override Jesus' authority in your life? Do you still choose to do what you want to do rather than what the Lord tells you to do? Who's in charge? Who's making the decisions? Who's calling the shots in your life? And then what are you willing to do for Christ? It's symbolic of laying down our lives for Him. But recently we had another phenomena-type movie coming out, the latest Star Wars flick. And what I read about was that there were people who actually went and they camped out in front of the box office all night waiting to be the first people in line to buy tickets for this new Star Wars movie. It was that important to them to camp out, to make sure they were first to get the tickets. Here's the test. Are we willing to do something like that for Jesus? Are we willing to camp out overnight to make sure we're first in line when the doors to the church opens on Sunday morning? What are we willing to do for the Lord? What is that important to us in our lives that we would be willing to go to extreme measures for Christ and His kingdom? If we're not willing to do that for Christ, then we are not fully committed to Him. It's that simple. Who's in charge? Who's making the decisions? Now here's the backside of this illustration. Those same people who were throwing their coats in the road as Jesus rode down the hill towards the gate of Jerusalem on that wonderful Sunday, 5 days later, many of them were standing around the praetorium where Pilate was trying Jesus and found Him innocent. But some of those who threw down their coats and pledged that they would give their lives for the Lord and celebrated His arrival were calling for His crucifixion. Here's the question. If you threw down your coat in front of Christ, are you going to go pick it up again and pick up your old self and continue to walk in your worldly ways? Or are you going to leave your coat on the floor, on the ground, and let Jesus trample it under His feet and put it away from you forever? You see, many of those people who were yelling, "Crucify Him," they probably went back and they picked up their coat because they took back their old way of life. Jesus didn't live up to their billing or what they were expecting, and they were so disappointed, and they went and they picked up their coat. They went and they took their old lives back, and they continued to be in charge and the Lord of their own lives. If we threw down our coat and pledged our loyalty to the King, don't go back and pick it up. Leave it there and move on. You see, it's tempting to do that because John chapter 6, verse 66, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Don't go back and pick up your coat, your old way of life. Leave it and let Christ trample it under His feet. Then as He was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." As Jesus rode down the side of the Mount of Olives, one group shouted and sang, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And in a chant response, the other group shouted, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." What they were singing was an antiphonal chant, but what it was also known as, things you would only chant and sing for the Messiah, the King. It was beautiful. They were chanting and shouting and celebrating the arrival of their King. Joy and happiness were in their souls. We could almost feel the burdens of sin, shame, anger, and resentment, bitterness roll off of them, as we could all feel those things happen on the day we gave our lives to Christ, could we not? We remember that time we got saved, everything was great. We felt like we had dropped a 20-pound rucksack after the end of a 12-mile road march. We felt like we'd laid down a burden. That's what was going on there. But let's remember the key detail of this point of the story. They were singing praises to the Lord while Jesus was riding down the hill. You see, they were standing on either side of the road, and some of the accounts of this story say that people were holding and waving palm branches above him. So they were standing on either side. Here's the thing. Jesus was in the center of that activity. Jesus was in the center. You see, when Jesus is in the center of our lives, we can sing and shout and praise him. We can shout praises and honor him as glorious, as our glorious King. As long as we keep Jesus in the center and never take our eyes off of him and never go back to pick up our dirty old coat, we'll be able to keep singing praises to him. So the word there is keep Jesus in the center of your life. Jesus came and rode that donkey into Jerusalem, treading on those coats on the road. And our themes for today, lay down your old coat and don't go back and pick it up. Keep Jesus in the center, and you really will be able to keep singing praises to him. How many of us today need to lay down something severe? How many of us today need to confess sin? How many of us today need to repent of our sin or be reconciled to a friend or lay down something that is keeping our lives from being holy and pure and pleasing to him? Don't think that this is too out of reach for you. Today, you can fix that problem right here and right now by repenting of that sin, by reconciling to a friend, by laying down something that has clouded and hindered your life and kept you from the glorious relationship that he wants you to have with him. We can really allow Jesus to trample down that thing that holds us in bondage under his feet and bury it forever. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you and we pray. We thank you for this opportunity, this glorious opportunity we have to make things right with you, to make things right with one another, to make things right with our families, our friends, to shed those things that hold us in bondage and prevent us from walking with you in the newness of life, that prevent us from breaking free and becoming all that you have and intend for us to be. Lord, give us faith. Open our eyes so we can see what hinders us and confess it and get right with you this day. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.
And there you have it, folks. That's the end of this week's episode. If you want to listen to more of our other episodes, you can do so by going to ctknorthshore.tumblr.com. That's the main website for now. You can go ahead and watch our sermon in video mode if you'd like. We have our YouTube page as well as our Facebook and Twitter page. And until then, we'll see you guys next week.